Indulge in holiday cravings with the nutrition you need from Ka'Chava's All-in-One Whole Body Shake. It's 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Savor the season knowing you're getting the good stuff your body craves. With Ka'Chava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to Ka'Chava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code NEWS for 15% off.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life, a life savings company for your journey to and through retirement.
All right, with me is the wonderful, the one and only, the fabulous Neil Delamere. Now, before we do anything else, we have to establish how you get a drone out of a tree with a football using a policeman.
Who told you about this?
This was Susie Dent yesterday. I tried to get Susie Dent to say that while you purport to be a very erudite, learned and wise man, in actual fact, you're dumb as a bag of stones. And she was tremendously disappointed because she said, no, Neil is both wise and likable. But in the midst of it, she said he told me a very stunner, funny story about using a cop to get a drone out of a tree with a football.
Did you specifically try to get her to say dumb as a bag of stones? Did you want to say that? Would any other sentence that would imply that I am a moron?
Well, no, I asked about your erudition, but the evident implication was bag of stones.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's what you want.
It was in the subtext.
Just so we're stuck. I don't think that's much of a subtext, to be honest with you. Did you go, is he, and then knock the desk and look at her and make a face? Susie Dent is a wonderful woman. I will. Okay, I'll tell you about that in a second.
She's very nice.
She's a very, very nice woman. And this week, I was on.
And she was very nice about you. Like, she was annoyingly nice about you.
Was she?
Yeah, she was.
I'm going to listen.
Neil's lovely. Neil's very funny.
Bath,
I like Neil.
Oh, well, I love telling her kind of weird Irish things and stuff. Like, I did it once, and she was talking about origins of language all around Ireland and Britain. And she goes, and we have one. And she did Northern Ireland one day. And she went, something could be Cat Melodian. And I was like, like, that is not how we would say it, Susie Dent. We'd run it a little bit. Cat
Malone.
Or just Cat. No, but she's brilliant. Yeah.
Is that the origin of Cat?
I'm assuming that's where Cat comes from.
How
I don't
that
know,
never
though.
Dropped before?
I don't know, because you're as dumb as a box of stones. Possibly. I don't know.
You don't ever say it.
Okay, just
leave
it.
The inference to be drawn.
I, by the way, I thought I was a sophisticated man. I thought I was a man who had gotten to a point in his life where he knows that, you know, nationhood is an accident of birth and is not overly patriotic, until there was an Irish fella beside me on Countdown this week, and I was full on ole ole ole. Ethan from Mayo was sitting there, and I'm meant to be neutral in.
Ethan?
Yes, he was there.
From Mayo?
From Mayo, and he was sitting there and he got it in, and I was like, come on! He was brilliant. I was like slipping him words. He's like, Tempesta. And he'd be like, accident is there for age. I went, come on, they're not going to know this. I became so uber patriotic, and he did very well. Can't say any more than that. And Novena came up as well. Imagine there's 6 people on camera, 3 of them are Irish, and we're all like, listen, let's not be too Irish. Novena comes up, and we're very happy about that. So there's a bit on Countdown. I do Dictionary Corner on Countdown. I've done it kind of like 34, 35 times, I think I've done it now. You do five goes in one go when you do it, you know?
Dork.
I mean, from anybody else, I'd take that. But you're sitting here in motorbike trousers, a check shirt, and a delightful, I can only...
This shirt has a collar. Consider yourself lucky. I dressed up because you were coming in.
But you have a little bit to tell. You tell them a little bit that's happened the last time you're on the show or whatever. You know, you've got a little kind of 2-minute intros to pieces. That's your little kind of, I suppose. So every episode you do the rounds, you do the numbers, you do the letters. Susie then does the origin of words. You learn something amazing from Susie all of the time, even stuff you don't know about. Has she talked to you about wishy-washy and TikTok and flip-flop? That, you know, this thing in English that you don't even know there is a rule, but there is a rule, but you just learn it automatically. It's nobody ever says cat kit washy wishy flop flip. It's ablaut reduplication, I think it's called. You always put the slender one first.
That is brilliant.
Yeah, but you never have learned
that's tip
this.
Top.
Exactly. You see? But I was telling her kind of...
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just know it instinctively. It just feels right.
She's always just explaining random stuff to you and you go, oh my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, it can't be clop clip.
No. No, and
amazing.
It's consistent.
How do we not know that?
No one ever teaches you that. But if you hear it, you immediately go, whoa, that's not right at all. And then she was talking the other day about Maverick, and I had no idea that Maverick was a person. Maverick was a dude who didn't brand his cattle. She mentioned this the other day. Didn't brand his cattle, so people would be standing there. I think it was in Texas. And they go, oh, God, there's another. A Maverick cow would walk into your yard or whatever. You go, there's another Maverick. And then Maverick became... a name of something that, you know, that was a maverick. It's not somebody who doesn't play by the rules. But I was saying to her, I always talk about dogs. I know you love dogs as well. And Colin Murray always goes, go on, tell us your other dog story. Because there's always a dog story. And I have spoken about this before, but this is absolutely true. I was out walking the dog last Christmas and I walked around the corner near Mountjoy Prison. And I saw a guard arresting a fella, and the man had flown his drone into a tree, and it was 25 feet stuck up in the tree with a contraband, shall we say, from a
still
pouch.
Attached.
Still attached. For 25 minutes, I watched this guard trying to arrest a man, and meanwhile, there was another guard there, and for 25 minutes, I watched him try and kick a football, trying to knock a drone out of a tree. It was magnificent. My wife was ringing me, go, where are you? I was like, I'm watching the end of my show. It's where I am. He took off the stab vest. He licked his finger. He was judging distance. He was, and it took him, and I said this.
That's a hard shot. That is a hard shot.
He did it. This is
25 feet up?
Susie Dent, she goes, is this true? I said, this is absolutely true. And it took about 6 shots. He ballooned it, missed everything. After about 6 shots, there was a squirrel in the tree and the squirrel ran along the tree bough and sat in the drone. Because the squirrel had calculated that the safest place at this point to sit in the entire tree was on the thing that the guard was aiming at. Now, people don't believe that this happened. I'm going to show you a picture. Because the guard then knocked on the door of the fellow who owned the house. Because it was in his yard. The tree was in his yard, just onto the street.
What do you want your man who owned the house to do?
Well, he wanted something long so he could poke it out of the tree because the football tactic wasn't working. As I was trying to explain to them.
Where did he get the football? Is that standard issue?
I gathered. No, you don't get a stag vest. You know, there's 128 guards now with tasers. Tasers. A size 5 Nike. Some boots. And... So he went in and he asked for a yoke. Because as I was trying to explain to them, we're now in an Irish folk song because there's drugs in the drone in the street in the tree in the yard in the street down in the valley, right? So he went in and he got a massive, he got a 25 foot long telescopic mop from the fellow who owned the house.
The man who owned the house has a 25 foot telescopic.
Look at that. Describe it to your listeners what I'm showing you.
That is actually, I take it all back. That is genuine. I'm not making this up. That is a guard in uniform.
Guard, I'm showing
outside
you.
A house, poking a drone out of a tree with a telescopic mop.
That didn't work, right? So instead, he used this. Now, what do you think this is? This actually worked. I think that is a boom microphone.
That is a boom microphone.
Yeah.
So there is no question that's a boom
like
microphone.
A 25 foot, 30 foot boom microphone, and I watched him do that. And she think I
who
think
owned the boom microphone?
He another neighbour that on the
just
road.
Just by chance, a cop happened to need a 25 foot poking instrument, and there was a sound engineer with a boom mic.
There was a guy that offered going, it up. I will sort that out for you. Yeah,
you have a great life. More crack than I do.
I came upon this, and I know to cancel everything else in my life. This is what I know enough about my life that at some point I will be doing a gig.
It's daylight. I'm a comedian. I have nothing better to do.
Yeah, the dog is going to be walking home. I'm like, no, we're not walking home. And I know enough. Like, that's what happens. At least if mad stuff happens in your normal life, you get
fair play for taking the pictures, though. Because no genuinely, you do that on stage, nobody's going to believe. Nobody's going to believe the boom mic. Yeah. They're just going to say, that's a fridge too far.
Yeah, yeah. So I just kind of tell them random stuff that happens to me and they don't believe half of it, but then I have evidence.
By the way, I should say, just let's be clear, you are touring through 2025 and 2026. Not that there's a lot of 2025 left, but you're going to be in Kilkenny down in, but you're sold out. But next May, you're in the Olympia on May 8th. You're also 13th and 14th in the Olympia and, I believe, an additional date in the Everyman.
Listen, we are doing 85 dates in Ireland. We'll probably do another 30, 35 in England, Scotland, Wales. An extra Olympia, an extra Cork Everyman, an extra Hawkswell and Sligo, an extra on Green on in Letterkenny, an extra...
You'd be able to afford your own telescopic boom mic.
I'll have the guard on retainer. Like, do you know when criminals have someone in the police force that can influence things for them? I'll have one of them.
I love that your definition of a successful year is I'll be able to bribe a corrupt cop to do my bidding.
You said corrupt. I say, listen, maybe the man needs money. Times are tight at the moment, right? Coppers is getting more expensive as we go.
So I've been thinking about you a lot because I've been watching...
Please finish this sentence. A waddle of arse foots.
Exactly.
Okay.
I've been
tell you about cackle fart?
No, what's cackle fart?
It's an egg.
No.
Yeah, yeah, that's what cackle fart is.
Does cackle then relate to cloaca?
The opening that a bird
does. Don't explain it. It's bad enough to say the word without a description.
No, because I think in people's heads it's much worse than what it actually is. So.
Oh, it's pretty bad. There's a lot happening.
Okay, go
anyway,
on.
Where
okay.
were we? Oh, yeah, okay. Me thinking about you a lot.
Yes.
The reason I think about you a lot is because I look and I go, you know what's happening in comedy?
Yeah.
People are getting, where the money is now, and the marketing money, is putting crowd work up on YouTube.
Yes.
Because it doesn't burn your material, and it shows that you're funny, but it's always different, and it gives you fresh content all
yes.
the time.
Yeah.
And I think you are very lucky, because this plays to you. You are very good at crowd work, and I think you find yourself in a very good moment of what is working online.
Yes, is the answer to that.
I knew it.
You think someone who'd be better at crowd work would be able
be
to
faster,
extrapolate
yeah.
this point and expand on it, but it is early in the comedian's life. Yeah. It is, because I've always done it.
Yeah.
That's the thing, I've always wanted to make every show individual. And you get some people, and sometimes someone will go, oh, it's a plant, and you go, so I go around with a coterie of actors and hand them a script. Do you think any of us are that organised or have that much money? The answer to that is we don't put up if it doesn't work, you know? But then every so often, you get gold. I was in Leicester Square Theatre the other day and I said to a woman in front of her, what are you doing? She goes, I am a Ryanair customer service.
Oh.
And like, you're like, oh, this is amazing.
Clear my calendar.
Amazing. And I went, let's see how big your bag was. And her bag was massive. And I said to the audience, should we let her in with this bag? And the audience turned into a panto crowd and went, no. And a guy jerry-rigged like a little thing to see if we could fit her bag into it. And you put that up and everybody knows it's immediate and it'll never happen again. Also, I don't believe she was a Ryanair customer service. But make
do
a split
you care?
No. You make a split-second decision and you go, I'm going to go with that. Same gig, there's a guy the next night, the same Leicester Square Theatre's guy said, I'm an opera singer. And I said, will you sing something at the end of the song? And at the end of the show, and he went, yeah. And he did it from the second row and he sang the last two lines of Nessun Dorma.
No.
And then Ireland beat Portugal and Hungary. I'm not saying I directly caused it, but no. I mean.
Did he? And he could do it.
Like, oh my God. No, he's really a professional opera singer, yeah.
That's
yeah.
one of those things when you get a singer of that kind of power and you're in the room with them,
yeah.
it's like, oh, this, you can't get it. And particularly when they're close proximity, when they're only 10 or 12 feet
yeah.
away. Like,
I knew he was going to be good.
Because
I said, do you want to get up on stage? He went, no, I'll do it from the seat. And he did it from the seat, like row two, and blew my mind. He was amazing. And it just makes every night individual. And you have weird things that you can roll with and you can tie everything in together. And yeah, I mean, I put a lot of stuff up. I record most shows and I just put, when you finish the tour, you just chop it up and you can just give it away. It's funny because it requires a sea change in your mentality, because when we started, your DVDs and DVD would go platinum and you'd sell loads and then, you know, it might go to RTE or might go on streaming services or whatever. Now there is you give it away for nothing and you, it's like music.
Yeah, but you don't give away the shop. I mean, at least with the DVD. Well, the DVD, you burned your material. At least we're doing the crowd work, you know.
Yeah.
Like actual jokes, what you have crafted with your own little
what
hand.
What I have crafted.
Really?
Yes, Eric Mockham and Ernie Wise. Yes, here's that. I play what I wrote, wasn't it?
I remember once on social media, I posted a column that I wrote for a newspaper and I said, a column what I wrote.
Oh my
and
God.
And what followed was just like, not a lot of Mockham and Wise fans in the crowd, evidently.
Isn't it lovely when they don't get it and jump? Yeah. But no, you put it all up now. You put the whole thing up.
Now,
By the way, I was in England and I like to mess when I do gigs in England, it's predominantly English audience. I become slightly more nationalist just because it's not pandering. It's kind of agitating a little bit and I don't know why. There's a woman the other night, I'm in Bath, and Bath is very well to do. I said, what do you do? And she goes, I'm a kitchen designer. And it's only English people in the audience, or maybe 90%. I said, oh, okay, you know the island? She goes, yeah. I said, do you think that should be partitioned? Or do you think the island in a kitchen should be kept as one true big island? And my support act was from Newry. And I was like, do you think John and I should have the same kitchen island? Or, and it slowly began to dawn. And there was like 5 hours, she put at the back, like, full on Wolf Tone songs.
Simfish.
Yeah.
Well, how then, because this is the bit that I don't understand.
Yeah.
You, and maybe you don't want to comment on other comics, but how then do you have the situation that you have with James Acaster, who I watched the other day saying that he had effectively almost given up comedy because he would respond so hyper-aggressively to any heckle. He said that he would be doing a line about his recent desire to eat apricots and somebody would heckle and he would just open up on them with a torrent of abuse. Surely you learn a way not to have to do that.
I think at the very start, I used to think all heckles are aggressive. And actually, if you start in Ireland, lots of heckles will be, you know, so kind of sounds that you might hear at someone bidding at a mart, sort of, or so, someone would go, you do that or whatever. And you'd slam them, just slam their whole, or their mom, their grandmother, the entire lineage of the family. And then after a while, you kind of get to realize that there's a difference between heckles and the difference between interruptions and all the rest.
Got to be fast to spot, though, which one comes freighted with meanness and which doesn't. Yeah, but that's hard.
Yeah. But like everything happens at hyper speed at gigs anyway, you know, I think. And when a gig is great, you have more time. When a gig is great, you become Zinedine Zidane and everything slows down and you've got time on the ball. And when you're doing in the early days, when you're struggling and there's something weird, everything speeds up. Everything speeds up. Your saliva goes, your heartbeat.
You find new places to sweat from.
Yeah, you can hear your heartbeat in your ear and you're hoping that the GP from yesterday doesn't think it's a massively... that was an amazing bit. She went, if you hear your own pulse in your ear, in this situation, it's just a little thing. Or it could be a massive indicator of worldwide collapse, but you're probably grand. I was listening to that yesterday in the car, freaking out altogether.
I wasn't sure Eleanor had caveated sufficiently with, in your case, don't fret before she hit the arm again.
GPs are so relaxed on them. They have seen absolutely everything, you know, so they're the exact people you want.
Did you know that leg shaving decreases in winter?
Yeah, I would have assumed it did.
I wouldn't have thought about this. I would have thought it was just one of those routine things you get in the habit of and you keep the same pattern across the year. But according to Eleanor, and she's a GP and she would know, and she thinks it's warmth related.
No, it's not. It's that you don't... Okay, I'm not going to criticise the GP. What the hell do I know?
No.
He says catching himself.
This is both a women's issue and GPs. Wade in,
no,
Neil.
I would have thought that you don't have your legs on show for the summer. You don't have your legs out. So, any of the people I know who have ever shaved their legs have always said, no, you
just stop on the nod.
Yeah. Huh.
I would have thought, you know the way you go on holiday?
Two fellas talking about something, they have absolutely no idea. This is the basis of all podcasts, to realise this. Two idiots who have you ever shaved your legs? No, I've never shaved my legs. Will it stop
Let's us weigh in.
Proffering an opinion like idiots for the next 5 minutes? Go on, give us your uninformed opinion, Darren.
The Joe Rogan experience, I believe is what you call it. Well, I would have thought, you know you go on holidays and you take maybe 3 or 4 days off shaving. Well, not in your case, because you have a beard. But in my case, I take 3 or 4 days off shaving. It's great for the first while.
Yeah.
And then about 4 days in, you go, well, this is just itchy and annoying. And then you return to your cycle of shaving. It's not because your face is going to be visible in a way that requires you to be shaved.
Yeah.
It's just pattern, habit, and comfort. I would have thought the same thing applied to your thighs.
Okay. Well, let's get people to tell.
It's been great talking to you, Nick.
Yeah, it's an absolute pleasure. It was great.
I like
for a
that
while.
We stay in
and
our
then,
lane.
And then it became like an ingrown hair towards the end. It has been an absolute pleasure, as it always is.
Why don't you do the 8 out of 10 cats version of Countdown? If ever
I'm
something...
I'm a purist. I'm Opus Dei Countdown. I like the Tridentine Countdown. If I had my way, Colin Murray would be up. I wouldn't be able to see him. He'd be facing the opposite direction and he'd be doing it in Latin. That's why. I'm an originalist, that's why. I've never been asked, is the answer. I'd like to do it, actually. If anybody's listening to Anton Savage's show from the Countdown team, I'd like to do that. I'd love to do Would I Lie to You as well. I'd love to
Would I Lie to You would
well,
be
excellent. Well, imagine if I said I saw a police officer trick a football at a tree.
And I bet you could get that cop to go over and be the guy who stands
100%.
There. He totally would.
That's an even better idea.
Totally would.
What would give it away is if he had a massive silhouette in his trousers of a 25-foot-long telescopic mop. And let's hope that's what it would be.
What about QI?
Oh,
you've done QI, haven't you?
I have done QI.
I'd love to do QI.
Yeah, you'd be very good in QI. I absolutely loved QI.
I don't think I'd be very good. I think I'd be too Rory Bremner. Do you remember the way they used to use him and he was just annoying? It was like, oh, shut up.
I always wanted to do that because it was such a... It's such a kind of, I would say in your wheelhouse as well, it's just kind of randomness.
Yes.
I also want to do that. Would love to do QI. One of my favourite things in the world to do if I am annoyed at something is to watch Bob Mortimer on Would I Lie to You?
Oh, yeah.
He is so good.
I do my own dentistry.
to the extent, that's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. To the extent that you look at him and go, would I like to be on with him? No, because I think you would become... another audience member and said nothing for an hour and just absolutely enjoyed it immensely.
Speaking of, have I done my own dentistry? I know that you are not necessarily, that your core remit in comedy isn't necessarily politics, particularly British politics.
Okay.
Have you watched The Liz Truss Show?
No, no.
Oh, Neil.
Oh, I'd love to watch it.
Oh, Neil, you have to watch that. She says to a camera, people in Britain are pulling out their own teeth. It's like, what? With a straight face. This is a metaphor. This is literal. There are people, as we speak, extracting their own teeth with pliers.
In unrelated news, the knobs of doors are falling off and the price of string has rocketed. I think these three things could be connected. I mean, she is...
It's amazing. It's just amazing.
The lurch just watching, there is
This
insane.
Was the British Prime Minister.
I do have a good fact for you, though, that I should do in QI. That you know, the only time, in terms of British politics, the only time you're allowed to drink... on the floor of the House of Commons is when you're the Chancellor given the budget.
No, is that the case?
Yes. And they've had rum and milk was one drink and Gladstone drank, he drank sherry and a whipped egg, which is like, man,
well, just gives body. Gives body.
It does give body, but like, buy a trifle. Like, you're halfway to a trifle. Just go the whole hog. So she hasn't done it, but like Ken Clark did it and I think it stopped after Gordon Brown, but you are allowed to do it by tradition.
Can I tell you my favourite thing? We were talking about QI. I had John Lloyd on, who was the man who...
Oh, I know John, yeah. John.
One of the things John also did was write The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the original, with Douglas Adams.
Okay. Right? I think I know where this is going.
I was interviewing, I was asking him about something and during the interview he said, oh, that thing, yes. What was it they called the computer in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? I was like, you wrote it, John. Like, it's not like it's been a while since I read it. You literally wrote the thing. And he can't remember what they called it.
But he's written so much stuff. Did he tell you what shoebriness is? It's what Douglas Adams coined the term. Shoebriness is that feeling when you sit on something that has been warmed by somebody else's bottom. That slight feel of unease. The two of them were amazing. But yeah, I'd love to do that again.
Well, on that topic, Jonathan McRae is getting all braced for some shoebriness, so we better wrap it up. If you want to see Neil Dalmer, he's all over the country and all over the UK, particularly 13th and 14th of February in the Olympia, May 8th in the Olympia as well. Another gig on the Everyman, and neildalmer.com is where you can find out more. Thank you to Neil.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Indulge in holiday cravings with the nutrition you need from Kachava's All-in-One Whole Body Shake. It's 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Savor the season knowing you're getting the good stuff your body craves. With Kachava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to Kachava, KACHAVA.com and use code NEWS for 15% off.